Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Bud Nation.
Let's go. Pray to bring the energy, Jay. Right,
yeah. Welcome into DMVR Buffs Primetime. We're presented by Illegal Pete's, everyone's go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. We are actually in the air right now, but we pre-recorded with our friend here, Jalen Ellis. Welcome, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Pretty good, man. We're happy to have you.
It's great to have you here, man, and it's great to see you kind of become like a ambassador. I would say for CU, for Colorado, for Coach Prime, for that team. I guess take us through that journey for you, and you know why you've become such a fan of everything that's going on, despite not being directly a part of it anymore.
Because although like at my last school, I loved. There's no bad blood. Like I graduated, I did my 4 years, which I said I was going to do. I felt like an outcast from time to time. I felt different. And I felt like that's what Prime was before he even got to CU. So, like I was, like I said, I was a Prime fan before. I was a Prime fan at Jackson. So I felt like he was already disliked. He was hated, even just based off of who he was as a player. So this is 20 years prior, 30 years prior, and he's still liked in this fashion. So it was just like I wanted to be a part of that because I felt like that at my last school, just alone, just walking through the facility day in, day out. And it was cool and all, but it was just like, like I said, it was I did my time. It was a new calling, and I saw the opportunity with Prime, especially when he called, and I had to take the opportunity.
What was that like, getting that call?
Yeah.
It was crazy because I was committed to West Virginia. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was committed to West Virginia. So I was set in stone. I wanted recruitment to be short. I wanted to get it done within a week or two. I had, like, two other visits, but they were going to be within a week. So before I even got to take those, I see one day I'm playing Xbox with my friends here, and I think we're playing Call of Duty, and I look at my phone, I see just follow on Twitter, and it's just so-and-so see you. So I'm like, okay. Cool. I'm like, this is cool. So I screenshot and sent it to my dad. He was just like, we got to take the visit. And immediately, like, I knew his excitement kind of just told me a lot just of how he felt about the situation. I didn't tell him much about how I felt, especially, like, how I felt different. I was just like, this is something we're going to do. So I took him on the visit, and it was pretty much immediate. I committed the next day of the visit, and it was just signed, sealed, delivered.
Have you ever been to Colorado before you kind of went on that visit and became a student at CU?
No, not once. I never came here, but I knew I liked mountains.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing. So the whole 5280 thing was something I kind of saw everywhere. It was just kind of weird. I always wondered why. And it's like, oh, the big old Maha City, and you're 30 minutes outside. I thought it was cool, and as soon as I landed on my visit, I was just kind of taken away, blown. And my mom knew it. She told me, she was like, as soon as you land, she was like, I could tell, because like that's, now that I'm older, I like to chill. I like, the mountains are my vibe. I like to go up there, take the time, and just kind of find myself. So that was interesting, and I knew school wasn't going to be the biggest factor due to already being a grad. So I knew this was where I needed to be.
What went into the decision for you to step away from football?
My body told me, and it was just like, it was a saying, like, I forgot where I heard it. Oh, I know I didn't. It's from my favorite movie, Cars. Lightning McQueen was just like, you won't know when you're ready to leave. But it was just like, the young guys would tell you, my body is starting to break down. Like these, like I praise, like I said, Omarion Miller all the time. I'm watching him just like, damn, I used to be able to jump like that. Right. I used to be able to. And I'm just like, it's okay. Like I've accepted this 2 years ago. Like I've hurt in the dark. Everybody's dream was to go to the league, but it's just like there's time. You got to make room for other things. So, like I said, I started doing social medias. I started doing things. Little outlets starting to open up. So it was just like I'm a person outside of football, and that was a hard thing to swallow at 21. But I found myself easily here at 22.
Was the TikTok with your dog like the beginning of the social media kind of craze for you?
That was kind of, yeah, when it came to here, Colorado, that was like early off the rip. Like, I didn't get to do much. I just got my car. Like, I just got things rolling. I was about to get a dog from the shelter. Like, there was a lot of things. But it just sparked like a whole outlet. Like, we talked about prior. Like, she's like the, like a mascot for us almost. Yeah. Like, everybody loves them some angels. So she only helped, I guess, my perspective of like social media. Like, she has her own following now. She has a fan page. Like, people are fans of her. People are fans of me due to saving her. So it's cool. But it was I was kind of already doing stuff then on the outside of Baylor. But then it was like, when I got here, it only amped up just a little more. Actually, not a little more, a lot.
Did you know how obsessed people in Boulder were with their pets before that?
Because Boulder's not like I'm from Texas. I'm from the South. Like, we show a lot of hospitality. We show a lot of like smooth interactions. I'm not saying that don't happen here, but it's like you gotta kind of have a conversation going for it to like take place. But like, once the dog came into the factor, everybody loves him some angel. Yes. So like I said, everybody at my apartment complex has dogs. Everybody compliments her, or I'll have to stop and have a couple of minute conversations because of her alone. So she definitely has pluses that come along with her.
Oh yeah.
She's got a whole fan club. You said people recognize her before they recognize you now, basically.
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing, but it was cool. Like, I was like, damn, they know my little dog, but they didn't know who recorded it.
So Angel's the name, right?
Mm.
How old is she?
She's 2 years, so they say. When I found her, I took her to the Humane Society, and they said whatever they do back there, they said she was 2 years and 2 months at the time, so she's about 2.5 years now.
So a little thing.
Yeah,
little young puppy. That's awesome, man.
6 pounds. All huge, 6 pounds over.
Huge shout out, Boulder Humane Society. My family's been working with them for decades.
Yeah, great people.
Great people there. Did they have any idea like what happened? Or any guesses? Like,
no, I mean as assume I don't know, but I look at comments and people are talking about it's a common thing to dump animals in mountains or in these places. And I'm from Texas, like, you might see your local dog on the street, but it could be a neighborhood dog. But like,
yeah,
there's no way this dog is 6,000 feet up in the air. So
right.
It's just like, yeah, that was kind of crazy. But she was chipped, so she had an owner prior. So that's what the story I'm kind of going to think with as well, because they contacted the owner. So
yeah,
they had a chance, and there was a number. So it's just like,
man, that's crazy.
That's so sad, bro.
It's really sad. I mean, it's amazing that you found her and were who you are to take her in, because it's just like, I don't know. I don't even want to think about, but like, of all places where you're going to take a dog, like, just take them to the Humane Society.
It's sad because I think about it, like, me and my friends just went hiking. And even in, like, lower parts of, like, the mountains, like, it's covered in snow. Like, there's still feet of snow, inches of snow. And that could have been her. Like, maybe 2 weeks after I found her. Like, I don't know what she most likely wouldn't have survived it, 99% sure.
Oh, no way.
So it's just, like, that's what's sad in the long run. Like, not even the fact. It is sad that they dumped her, but shoot, in a place like Colorado, it's really hard.
And like the predators and just everything. It's just
I hear about this shit all the time in New Mexico, man. I've got a friend who lives way out there, kind of on the outskirts of town, and they always find dogs and stuff just walking around. People dump them all the time. It's terrible.
I mean, and like, I understand some people think that they're suited for to have a pet and they realize that they aren't, but like, there are
humane resources.
Ways to go about that.
Yeah, like, you could have made this an easier process.
Yep, for sure. But, all right. Let's hit our first ad break. And then I want to ask you kind of about the team and last year. Shout out to our wonderful friends over at Coors Light. When the mountains are blue, it's time to chill. Coors Light is the beer for chilling. Come down to the DMVR bar, watch a Nuggets game with us, watch a Navs game, or watch the Buffs in the NCAA tournament.
Amen.
With a good Coors Light.
I think we're doing, what, buckets for $20 right now? Coors Light buckets?
There you go. We got deals coming down here at the DMVR bar. Cash in. If you don't want to leave your home, however, hit up CoorsLight.com/DMVR. Get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Also, shout out to our friends at Game Time. If you're looking to go to a game, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Use the code BUFFS, that's Buffs, to get $20 off your first purchase at Game Time. And I always say I love Game Time because it's the only place that you get rewarded for procrastinating, which is a terrible habit of mine. But the longer you wait to buy your tickets, the cheaper they get. So check out our friends over at Game Time. Wait until Game Time to buy your tickets, and make sure you use that code BUFFS when you sign up to get $20 off your first purchase.
Back here with Jalen Ellis. So you entered the portal during the spring. Mm. You didn't commit until after the spring game had already happened. I think you were kind of a later arrival to Boulder too, right? Mm. So what was that like for you? Just, you know, jumping in, there's a lot of new people in that situation, but jumping in kind of late and just trying to fit in with the team at that point.
I really didn't care about fitting in. Almost like I knew, like I said, my time limited was on campus. Like I knew I wasn't going to be around the team much outside of the athletic aspect. I didn't know how much time we were going to spend together during it. But for me, it was almost just camp, season practice in the morning, and I go home. And I just repeat the same thing. So it was kind of like coworkers. But before that, even entering the portal, I just wanted to take my time. I knew I was graduating. I knew that was my main thing. That was my main sole purpose of doing all this, to get my degree. And once I did that, I was like, all right, well, just see where this goes. I kind of wanted to stop at that point, but I had somebody tell me to just keep trying. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I did. And I didn't know my ceiling. Mm-hmm. But then once you see Ole Miss, Auburn, these places, Oregon, and it's like, oh, okay, they're following, they're reaching out. And the portal's so fast. Like, yeah. The portal's, that's, like, the most recruiting I've ever had in, like, a week, even from, like, high school. Like, I was on the phone as soon as you can get on the phone in the portal. Like, I was talking to Texas. That was the very first school, Texas State, to reach out to me at, like, 7 in the morning. Like, I was just on the phone all day. And I had to tell them, oh, I got one more class, like, and that's it. Uh-huh. And then it was all day for, like, the next week. And then West Virginia was fast. They were like, all right, let's get you on a plane. Boom, let's go. And then Colorado was right after.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. We've heard that the portal process is kind of brutal. I mean, Coach Prime's mentioned it too. That's why he wants to go into the portals, because it's all about business, really, you know, kind of getting it done. I mean, this wide receiving core, man, we talked a lot about it. You were kind of there watching it day in and day out. Just what was it like seeing guys like Travis, Zay, Omarion kind of just really blossom and grow into good football players?
I mean, we kind of knew everything about Travis, and Travis really doesn't have to be spoken on, because Travis, we get who Travis is.
Right.
Yeah, like, but I like to speak on the guys that, like, are younger or, like, that I see. Because, like I said, I don't really gas many people up, and I'm going to keep my mouth quiet for 90% of takes. But for me to gas somebody up, it takes a lot. So, like, I really see something in Omarion Miller. Like, he has every tool in the bag to be a Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, you don't, and it's so lackadaisical, it's so, like, nonchalant, where right. It's like, it doesn't look like he's doing the most, but it's so natural. Like, I was there this past week, like, Tuesday, he dropped it, but he was going back for a fade and just jumps up with his hand, and the only reason he dropped it was because he was falling back, and he slammed the ball, like, at the ground, and I'm like, it just sat in his hand. Like, he does it naturally, it's effortless. So guys like him are just exciting for the future, now that I just look at ball a little differently, not just like I was a fan, but like I understand what's coming, the route concepts or depth wise perception, things that go into playing receiver.
What do you think it's going to take for him to get to that Marvin Harrison Jr. level?
His opportunity, and I mean, we saw it against USC. Like, they were ranked, whatever they were ranked at the time. I think
7 maybe.
Yeah,
I think they were still undefeated.
Top 10 team.
Yeah,
like, and you have an 18-year-old coming here, doesn't have a car, barely has a license, and just bam and catch, and it's just like, that's not normal. Like, the opportunities to get that as a freshman are very slim, and people don't really realize that. People think, like me, like at 18, oh, you're gonna go into college and just take over because you're a 4-star. That's not how it works. Like, you might not get your opportunity until you're 3, but he got his one shot, and he took off and he blossomed. So I think he's just going to have to focus and hone in. And I really hope he, like, listens to everything I say, because, like, I really think he can be special. And I think that's it. Like, he's already a smart kid. He's already talented. I think he's just got to mature, I guess. It's hard because he's 19 now. Like, he's a teenager. He's a kid still. Like, I'm still a kid. I still have to learn. But I remember what I was at 19. Like, that's it.
It sounds like you're kind of developing, like, a passion for wanting to help these guys reach their full potential. Is that what's next for you?
I would love to, because, like, I would love to coach. I love to help people. Like, I still have to make the most for me. I have to get where I have to be in life, and I still try to figure that day in, day out. But I do want the better for myself and those around me, and I didn't realize that until I got that coach my senior year at Baylor. He kind of changed the impact, and he told me that I was naturally almost like a leader. Like, even though I didn't try, I didn't want to be a bigger voice, people gravitated toward me. Like, younger guys listened, and I kind of figured that out here mostly as soon as I got here. And that's – my time's done, and that's okay. Like, I accepted it. But, like, there's so much I can instill at a young age already to a 18-year-old Omarion or a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old Jimmy, whatever it takes, I can help them, and why not? Like, I wouldn't be in this profession. I want to be in football. This is all I know. So why would I not try to help others?
And it feels like, you know, it's a nice bridge because a lot of coaches are either, you know, in their late 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. And they have tons of wisdom and great things to say. But, like, there might be something to be said for the fact that it's like, okay, you're not their teammate anymore, but you have a lot of experience, but you're also, you know, one of their peers.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a nice bridge in between that and, like, maybe your position coach to have someone telling you, like, no, they're listen to that or, you know, you need to focus on this or that or else this is going to happen.
My position coach, the reason I say all this and, like, you described him is his name is Dallas Baker and he works at Baylor still. But he was my genuine, like, friend before, like, a teammate. And it's like you respect him so much as a friend and, like, as a man. And I learned who he was before he found God, before his character, before he is the man like he is now. Like, he was a whole different person, but he worked. He played, again, with that Florida team, like a T-ball. Oh, that documentary, he's in there. So I respect him so much. He told us who he was and before he changed his life, and it's just like, I want to be that person. Like, he was a model man to me. Like, outside of my father, he was one of them. Like, he was a gift that I needed personally, and I want to be that guy to others. Like, yeah, I'm young, and yeah, I'm this, but I've been you. Like, unfortunately, it might only be 3 years later, but I've been in your shoes. And the coaching, I think, is different now. Like, I've had coaches who coach one way, and it's, like, harder, hard-nosed. But, like, you can do all that. But, like, I was a player. I had to trust you before I had to even, like, work for you. Like, that's it. Like, you don't have to yell at me for me to get my job done. Like, I listen. That's not the problem. So it's just, like, I want to be that guy at work. Like, I will fight 10 times harder for you and work 10 times harder for you if you just treat me how you exactly, like, reciprocate that treatment.
Yeah.
So some coaches will try to play their authority, but I don't want to do that in the long run. I want to be a player's coach, and we're going to get the job done in whatever way we can.
Love it.
What about Coach Bartoloni? I mean, we've heard a lot about him. He's switching over to tight ends, but he's another kind of younger coach who's really seems to be like a name to watch out for in the coaching ranks. What was it like playing for him?
It was just weird. Like, it was just a weird, like, technically playing for anybody was weird. It was just so fast. Like, it was, I didn't get to know him much. I didn't get to, like, get his character, like, and me being, like, a fifth year, I came in here at 22, I didn't have time, but I was just looking to, it was business, like, that was it, like, that was my mindset, so he was cool, he helped me out, he definitely, he's younger, like, and you can tell, like, I've seen older coaches, younger coaches, you can definitely tell, but he definitely has things figured out, and he's I don't even know, is he still under 30?
He's right around there, yeah.
Like, I want to be that, like, I want to be him, so I'm striving to hopefully work within them, and then, like, although now I'm not a player, like, I would love to just hear, like, his story from, boom, 23 to where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people on the outside would have looked at your situation and said, okay, grad transfer, went to Colorado, you know, didn't get the playing time that maybe you wanted, and then left football. I think a lot of people just guess, oh, there's got to be hard feelings or sour grapes towards Coach Prime, towards this team. But, like, you've become an advocate. You're posting about how you want them to win, how you're being cheering for them, all that stuff. Like, I guess why is it so different than what people might have expected?
Because everybody's a hater. Like, and I said in Darius's podcast, I hate loser mentality, and I don't like that near me anymore. And I've accepted that for a long portion of my life, and Prime doesn't present that at all. Prime is a winner. His energy's a winner. Even though we went 4-whatever, Prime's a winner. He changed this program. 1-11 to 4-8, that's a big difference, and people don't understand. Colorado without him probably would have did the same thing, maybe worse. So kudos to him, and it's like, I want to be a part of that. Like, if we can be quote-unquote bad or sorry, whatever these outsiders want to say, I'll take that, and we can work up. And then when we're winning, what do you say?
Yeah.
Like, you have nothing but to kind of shut up and listen. So I like the thing of pretty much, like, he sees the future, and I had to grow up to kind of understand that, but I see what he sees now. Like, I see the winning, I see what it takes, and there's going to be some more things that hopefully I can just tell and, like, behind the scenes thing that it doesn't need to be coach or player. Like, technically I'm still on the outside. I just want to help these guys go into what it takes to win, and me being 23, young, trustworthy to these guys, I think they'll listen. So
I love it. Do you think that this year is going to be a huge year for them?
Should be. I've seen patterns. I've seen upwards traction. I've told my friends, like, unfortunately, like I said, even if we don't win with Prime, like, this year, this is year one. It's Deion Sanders. It's Power 5 football. It's a change. Like, it's a business. Like, it's hard to get 5-star transfers here. It's hard to get 5-star recruits. Yeah. And it's going to take time. Like, yeah, year one was already an upgrade. You won three more games than you won the year before. We were realistically one more game off of bowl game. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what people say, everybody wanted to see the Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was it. So we could have gotten anywhere. I saw a tweet. The Orange Bowl wanted us in regardless of what happened. Like, yeah. That's insane.
And the Fiesta Bowl showing up for game three.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we had so – there's so much reason – to come here, there's so much reason to be part of this. Like, it's insane. And it's like, it's the early stages when everybody's gonna hate. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I've been disliked, I've been whatever, but as you grow older, none of that really matters. I just want to succeed and take care of mine.
And I mean, it's such a rewarding thing when you're on the right side of it, right? When mm-hmm. when all these people are saying, oh, they're gonna fail, and mm-hmm. even just from our perspective, like being like, no, Shador's going to be able to play at Power Five or whatever, like it's one of the most fun things in sports when you are on the right side. And I think that's going to be one of the best parts of this Coach Prime era at Colorado. Is like, I think it's going to be this year where everyone gets to pull out their receipts of like, oh, you thought, you know, you thought this team was going to suck, and you didn't think Coach Prime could coach, and you didn't think Shador was going to be the number one overall pick. Like, here it all is.
And that even, like, I wasn't a doubter of any of them, but I knew it's a talent level gap. Like, unfortunately, like, there's HBCU players, there's whatever, FCS players, FBS, I don't know the difference sometimes, I just, but anyways, there's a difference, unfortunately. Like, you cannot stack these teams against USC. Like, you just can't do that. So I was just worried, but I called Kyron Drones, the Virginia Tech quarterback, mm-hmm. close buddy of Shador's, and he told me, just trust it, commit, and that's all it took. Like, he was so good. I knew he was one of those ones behind the scenes who had to sit behind Blake Shapen or Gary Bohannon, and those mm-hmm. are guys, but, like, Kyron, I knew it. He early enrolled. Bro, he's 6'3", 230. Like, you can see talent sometimes, and nobody believed him, and now he's turning up. So, I had my second guesses, but shoot, once I really saw it in person, Shador is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. Like, he's, you know, if I tell him put it down in a bucket at the 50-yard line, he's going to do it. So, like, that's a gift from God, and I have full faith in him. So, this last year with him and Shiloh and this little class, I guess, of out the portal originally, because it was all later year guys, it's going to be fun. I think it's really going to take off. And now they have a year of development and gelling and team events and doing whatever it takes behind the scenes. That's going to be crazy.
Love it. What's your favorite memory from last season?
My favorite memory there were so many. Like, I loved the game against Arizona State. Was cool. Like, that was such like a college football moment. Yeah. Like, that was so cool. Like, I've always heard like stories of like Arizona State and just like how it is like in the place, but it just felt like just like that was NCAA 14 when you're playing it. Like, that's what I felt. Like, honestly, it wasn't even just that game. It was game in, game out, because every game was sold out. Every game people wanted to see was, like, the Rose Bowl. Actually, that might be mm-hmm. my best moment ever in my life. Like, I used to have a girlfriend, and she was in California, and I used to tell her, I'm so sad I'll never get to play in the Rose Bowl ever. Right. Like, she was like, oh, why? I'm like, that's Pac-12. Like, they do that.
Yeah.
I transfer here, and I get the opportunity, and just being there, feeling the history, like, it was crazy. Like, they have it wrapped off. You see the UCLA stuff. It ended bad, but shoot, that moment just felt like, man, this is everything. Like,
let's go. So cool.
That's awesome. That ASU game, too, was it did have that, like, true cultural atmosphere. Like, the student section is, like, chanting overrated at Shador. Yeah,
Shador's, like, kind of talking the to watch them.
Afterwards. Mata hitting his dance. Like, all that was just, like, it was so, just the moment. It was surreal. So that was definitely cool.
All right, I want to ask you about the Big 12 and some more stuff about the future. But first, shout out to Fubo TV. Watch the Buffs in the Pac-12 tournament on Pac-12 TV and or on Fubo TV, and also in the NCAA tournament, it's looking like.
Yes, sir.
They got 140-plus live channels of sports shows, movies, and news, and you can stream live from any device. You also get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included. No extra charge. If you are a sports fan, Fubo TV is the best service to watch all the sports. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR and you can sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
Also, if you have not yet been to a DNVR takeover, you got to do it. As soon as I found out there was one on my birthday this last Saturday, I'm like, I got to get in on this. If you don't know what it is yet, basically everyone comes here, meets at the bar, and then, you know, have a couple drinks, whatever. Then a bus comes, and we had like one of those old city buses, you know, that has like the accordion thing in the middle, like long bus, filled the whole bus full of Nuggets fans. There's beers on there. We're blasting music right over the Nuggets game. Everyone's seats are in the same section. So you're sitting with a bunch of, you know, diehard fans chanting and everything. Nuggets win, of course. And then you're back on the bus, back to the bar, after party here. It's an absolute blast. So make sure you check out DNVR events like the Takeovers and experience one for yourself.
So see you back in the Big 12. You played, you know, what, four or five seasons in the Big 12?
Four
seasons in the Big 12. How would you describe, like, you know, conferences kind of have styles, right? To them, you know, the Big Ten's kind of, you know, hard nosed, running the football. Yeah. SEC is kind of the same thing. And then, you know, Pac 12 was wide open. How would you describe the style of the Big 12 when you were there?
The Big 12, honestly, is the second best conference in college football, I think, truly. Like, I've really paid attention to football for the most part. Like, I like the Big Ten. It's just that style of play. It's cool. Like, but it is hard nosed running. Like, that's, I don't like it. I like more of like an air raid spread type offense. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's cool. But it's definitely different. When I came here, like, I think the Big 12 is a little tougher. Like, when it comes, I think CU can really compete once they get these pieces, which they have. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was bigger. It was a little, like, grittier, I'd say. Like, the trenches are a little bigger. They're a little messier, the linebackers. But when it comes to skill players, I think those match up pretty well within the Pac 12 and Big 12. Like, I think there's high quality players and receivers and DBs in both of these conferences. But outside of that, I think the conference change won't be anything different. I'm happy for them to go. I can't wait for them to play Baylor. There's nothing against them. It's just that's something I'm really looking forward to. I love can't wait to see my old roommates.
I think the thing that you're getting out there just has to do with, like, it's in the South.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's what obviously the SEC has, is they're getting the best and biggest athletes out of the South. And the Big 12 is also getting players out of that same footprint of Texas, Georgia, Arkansas, whatever it may be. Like, dudes are just different down there.
Yeah, like, those are, like, the real whole cornbread fed thing is real. Like, them Southern boys are different. Like, I remember when we played against Georgia my freshman year in the Sugar Bowl, we got to walk the streets of, like, Bourbon days before, and I'm seeing, like, I don't even know if it's them, but it was the whole Eagles D-line now. Like, it was them at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I don't remember who I saw, but all those boys, I'm seeing them, getting ice cream. And it's like, God damn, like, bro, like, that's crazy. George Pickens, like, I tell you, that was probably the best performance I've seen from a receiver in college. And he was a freshman. So, it's really different. But, honestly, there's those boys in Utah, I don't know what's going on over there, but those Samoan guys are big, too.
Yes,
they hit hard.
No Texas or Oklahoma, and we've kind of had this discussion throughout the offseason, whether the Big 12 will truly miss them next year. Do you have an opinion on that with them going out and all these other schools coming in?
I think it's cool. I like the whole realignment thing. I think Texas is going to last in the SEC just due to the market. And now that I'm older, understanding, like, ooh, living in Texas or Austin, Texas specifically would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, the city loves them. There's a lot. They're deep. Like, they're Texas fans. Mm-hmm. So that's whatever. But, it would be cool, but OU, I don't think they'll be missed within the Big 12. I think that's a lot of money, like that whole rivalry, meeting in Dallas, everything. And then usually the Big 12 goes in one of their favor,
right,
the past whatever years. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it'll be big as far as OU leaving. I don't think that'll be different because it's Norman.
I think that's the ultimate opportunity that exists for CU here, is there is no poster child team in the Big 12 right now. Mm-hmm. And it just happens that way, where teams will rise to power in a conference and they just won't let it go, you know, like
Oregon State.
Yeah, exactly. Or even like Oregon is one that I remember recently when I was in high school, is when Oregon was just starting their rise. Mm-hmm. And like, they just grabbed a piece of the Pac-12 that they just never let go. Like, I think Colorado, it's perfect timing with this team, with Coach Prime, to become that part of the Big 12 and just, like, hold on to that for as long as you possibly can.
Right.
It was, like, a fresh start. Like, I think it's cool, like, because, like, you said there's no poster, but, like, I would say it's Kansas State. Like, that's the toughest team right now currently. But I don't even think they're anything insane. Like, my best friend, another best friend of mine, was Deuce Vaughn. Like, I was just trying to call him early. He didn't answer. But, like, that's one of my dogs. We're close. We play the game all the time, whatever. And he left, and I think that was the last, like, real hope they had. But there's it's fresh. Like, CU can be the powerhouse this year. Like, yeah. It can take over this year. There's no guy in the Big 12 right now. And it was cool being a part of Baylor. Like, I went to two Big 12 championships, lost one against Jalen Hurts my freshman year, and we beat Oklahoma State my junior year. So that was cool. Baylor already being kind of in the mix, like, but that was only 2 years. And they're just like, OU, Texas were the other years. So it's just like, those were kind of lucky, but now they're gone. It's new. Let's see who takes over.
You think that Dylan Edwards can become a Deuce Vaughn-like player?
Yeah. Like, I tell him all the time. He's still, like, he's a young guy. Like, he's, shoot, he might be 19. Like, he's still, like, idolizes Deuce, like, as a fan. Because he was visiting, he's from Kansas.
Yeah.
He's like, committed to Kansas State, I think, at one point.
Like,
yeah.
That was his place. So it's just like, he's still, like, fans over him, but I'm trying to tell him, hey, link up with Deuce, text him, call him. He's been your role. He's been 5'5", he's been 5'6", he's been 145 pounds, he's been 150. Like, ask him, talk to him, and he'd be gladly, like, happy to do it. So I love trying to get him to talk, and I always try to invite him to things with me and Deuce. Oh, come to Texas, come do this, just so you can get around him. Like, I know how it is. Like, if that's one of my close friends, why would I not try to plug you in?
Yeah.
So I think he can really be that. It's definitely a different game, a different style. Deuce, there's not many Deuces in this world. No. Like, I've seen Deuces do things in high school that I already knew. Like, he was the one and he wasn't getting offers. But, like, not many people can be him, but Dylan can be as close to him.
Love it.
It's a great endorsement. I want to ask you about Baylor. Kind of give us the scouting report. You know, we have them opening the Big 12 slate this next season. What did they do well? What can you tell us about the quarterback? Just anything scouting report wise.
As far as Baylor, I mean, it's new. Like, Blake Shapen's gone. He's at Mississippi State. Goddamn. They have a lot of new people. Like, receiver wise, I can tell you everything. Like, offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes, he's gone. He's at Kansas. I could have broken that offense down within 3 seconds. Like, it seems confusing, but essentially it was all the same thing. It's either run left, run right, or throw the ball deep. Yeah. And it's that simple, but you do it. He's right. You had so many ways of different doing it, but ultimately that's all it is. It's either right, left, or throw deep. So now everything's new. I couldn't tell you much. The coach that recruited me, they're all gone. They're at Houston. They're wherever. But the receivers – I still love those boys. Those are my goons. Like, all of them are still there. They were younger guys. I was an older guy when I left. I can't wait to see them play. And they're all matured, which is what I want happen to hear. Like, they finally locked in. I think, went back and saw them in the summer. Or not in the summer, when I went back home. So, after season. And stopped by Waco before I got to Austin. Them boys are ready, and they're mentally ready. So, that's something I can speak on. Everybody else, nah.
All right. Love it. So, you're going to be all CU then for that game?
For sure. Like, let's still love my boys, but nah. We're here to dominate. We're here to take over, and we're gonna lock things up. I 100% believe it. Like, I still got love and support for those boys. I hope they do well, but now we'll see you.
That's awesome. Real quick, then I'll just ask you. You know, you mentioned Dylan. You mentioned Omarion. Which other young players should we be watching out for? Because we got spring football starting next week. Got a lot of battles all over the field. Which young guys do you have your eye on?
I don't know. It's like, now the guys are transfers and now the guys are taking over, but like, there's a walk on the side of scene. I love that kid. Like, he's special, man. He's got like cuts, and he might be like, I think he needs to mature. He needs to mature 100%. I hope he's listening, because I want him to get right, because he's different, man. Like, he's weird. He's special though. But as far as like all the younger guys, like Dylan was one of the few that took off, and then it's like everybody else is kind of like middle of the pack to older. So it's like, as far as Dylan and O, shoot, I'm even excited for Jimmy. I need Jimmy to branch out and really be that guy this year. Like,
yeah.
I think it's his time. So he's somebody I like. And then on the defensive side, Carter, start my.
Yeah.
I love Carter. He's a good kid, like, great character. And he's got a really large, he's got like an NFL frame already.
Yeah.
Like, that kid is crazy stout. Like, so I want him to take off. I think they put him at, like,
they moved him to safety, I think, yeah. Yeah,
like, he's in the box more now, so I think he will be good there, but I don't know. He's still young. Time will tell.
Assad, and then who's the other one that we talked about recently?
Hopkins?
Oh, Adam Hopkins.
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
Well, I mean, he moved to the defensive side, but he was flying in those speed trials.
Yeah.
He's an athlete. He's probably, now Chick's gone, I'm gone. He's probably the fastest kid on the team. Like, everybody really? Be talking. Yeah. Like, there's football speed and there's real speed. Like, when it came to it, like, I don't know if they'll say it. It was me, Chick Dawson, and we're the two fastest on the team, without a doubt. But, like, now Adam Hopkins can incorporate that football speed. If he does, like, it's over. Like, him at DB, he's an athlete. Like, mm-hmm. that's what he does. So,
yeah.
him being able to shoot, even if he gets burnt on a ball, he has the type of speed to go get it. Like, yeah. so that's – I like him. He's an athlete. And once he figures things out, and I think he needs to mature too. I don't know him too much from behind the scenes. I love him as, like, a little brother. But, like, shoot, they still go to class. I don't know what he's like from that standpoint. But I think if he gets right and just matures, it's going to be up.
This is a broad
– We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Question, but what do you think the key is to maturing when you're a young guy like that? I mean, especially now with NIL and everything, like, You're leaving home for the first time. You got money probably for the first time. A lot of things being thrown at you left and right. How do you grow up?
I can't really. I mean, the money kind of forces you to grow up. Like, you have, I don't know. I don't know because I saw it at 22. Like, I saw NIL and everything at 22, not 18. So at 18, I don't know what I would do if I was sitting on $150,000. Yeah. Truly, like, I just see the numbers on Twitter, and some guys have that, and it's just like, that's a lot to give to a kid. Like,
yeah,
they can blow it within 4 or 5 months if they really wanted to, but I think it forces you to grow up. Like, okay, like, I have a value, like, I have a market, I have a character, especially, like, CU exploits, like, your image. Like, shoot, Dylan Edwards, this is who you are. We're going to praise that. Like, you got to uphold that and be who you are, so to say. So don't just wild out and take advantage of that. Like, that can separate, like, boys and men. So I think really just, like, maturing is, like, the key to is listening, like, actually taking in these messages, like, even what I say or what Prime's saying. Like, he's been you, I've been you, these positions matter. And that was something I didn't do because you think, like, oh, yeah, I'm young, turnt, like, I'm doing whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm 18, I still got 3 more years in this. Shoot, maybe COVID now, I got 4, 5.
Right.
So it's, like, you think you have time, but, like, even though your time's, like, going away, it really hasn't started because some people aren't where they need to be. So it's just like, I would just say listening to the messages and really, like, incorporating them and understanding them. So that was something I already knew when I transferred, and I tried to just, like, relay that.
That's a great
answer. That's a great answer.
Yeah. I mean, you were on the team last year. There was a lot talked about with the offensive struggles, mm-hmm. you know, the line, the offensive coordinator. I guess, what would you be willing to share just on that whole process and how it all kind of fell apart towards the end of the year?
We got really stagnant, and we got really, like, complacent. Like, shoot, I tell everybody, it was a magical feeling in Boulder going 4-0. September was insane.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That was, like, there's two, like, I was telling my friends, there's auras in college football, and Johnny Manziel had probably the biggest one to me. He had, like, the biggest aura.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the Colorado Buffaloes in September.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was crazy. So you didn't really get to see those things. So I think we got complacent. We got stagnant on those things. But it really wasn't that complex. Like, truly, we were getting eaten alive by D-lines. And it's okay. Like, we were smaller. And I knew that immediately. Yeah. Size-wise, like, coming from the Big 12, I was like, our O-line looks a little slim. Like, mm-hmm. We need some thicker boys. But it's okay. It was year one. We progressed. But now we got 350-pound boys, 320 boys.
We like, got whatever. Some dogs.
Yeah, we got some dogs. So, like, now we're here. Mm-hmm. So, you give Shador time, and all that, people think all that holding the ball was his fault. No, Shador's thinking. Like, I didn't like to even talk. I like to hear their mind, like, how Shador thought. And sometimes you think, oh, maybe he's arguing back with the coach. No, I see what he sees now. Like, mm-hmm. I had to understand and think myself, so I didn't speak too much, but I listened and watched. He's holding the ball because he didn't break at 10, and he didn't end up carving it at 12. It just didn't work. Like, little stuff like that with him. So, yeah. Those little issues I think will go away. And a lot of that, people really see that Shador is going to be the number one pick with the O-line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We agree.
I'm curious, like you said, just listening to the things that Shador said, what's like an example of the conversations that go on within a game of what, when he's kind of like relaying what he's seeing and you know, trying to.
Reading
into the game plan.
Reading coverage is hard in college football. Like, that's not easy. People can do it in the box, and you can see, oh, there's cover three. Right. But when you have every CU fan in the back yelling and things are actually, like, real life shaking, like, it's crazy. So him understanding that they're probably going to roll. He's sitting 2 yards outside the hash, so he's going to cover him, the number two, and he's going to break high. He's not really going to cover anybody because he's clouding everything. Like, there's – he has that, like, pre-snap, and then he will be mad. Like, say, just example, Omarion Miller runs a curl, or it's like a vertical curl, so he has an option to go or sit. And he's mad that he hung on his hip too long, and he didn't go vertical because he slammed on the brakes. So the ball's sailing 10 yards over the head, and he's like, why didn't you run? I put that ball on the outside shoulder because he's at your hip. Like, you're going to beat him. Mm-hmm. But he curled it down. So that's when I'm like – okay, there's levels to this. Like, you understand, I've been around plenty of college quarterbacks, but not everybody was able to break it down that fast and already see the problem.
And that's a perfect example of a conversation we had with
Shador. That's what Shador said when he came on our show when we were at the Super Bowl.
He just said, like, you know, he didn't love that there were so many choice routes. And a lot of people interpret that as, oh, he doesn't know which choice to take. It's like, no. He was frustrated because he didn't know for sure that the wide receiver was going to make the right choice.
It's a two-way go. You have to, like, know and understand, like, it comes with maturity, like understanding, okay, that dude's on my hips. We're at 10 yards. I got to head down, dig. Like, I got to beat him to the spot because Shador thinks, Moneyball, this is it. Like, right. There's nobody over there. We're going to try to hit. So Shador will already be yelling at him while the ball's still in the air, why did you not do this? So you see that live, and, like, that's something really, like, behind the scenes that people be like, oh, like, whatever fans say. But me, I'm like, that's right. He's right.
Mm-hmm. And – it's one of the things I'm excited about for this year is because essentially, you know, Shador said that a lot of the choice stuff is going to be taken out because he knows, like, okay, if I just know it's a go, I'll just put the ball in a perfect spot.
Right.
He's a perfect pocket passer. Like I said, like, he knows exactly where that ball needs to be off of 10 yards of covering the ground. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's special. And I'm glad, like, y'all see it. Y'all understood by his conversation, like, what I'm saying correlates together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Perfect.
Last thing I really want to ask you about the team is just Pat Shurmur. What was it like, kind of just, you know, what was he like around the building when he was there, and then just when he became offensive play caller towards the end of the season? What can you tell us about him?
He still had, like, a lot to say, like, during the season. Like, he's a well-respected, like, Pat Shurmur. Like, mm-hmm. But he still was, like, the undervoice because we still had Coach Lou. And it was just, like, there's still, like, I guess levels, but, like, he was still respected. Everybody listened to him, whatever. But, I think now, like, when it's in his, like, the game got really simplified when we just put it in his hands. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just do this. It's black and white. Bam. So I think once we get on that page where options are gone and it's just, oh, you're going to run a dig, you're going to win a wheel, and there's no confusion on who, if he's going to do the right job, why can't we score 60 a game? Like,
let's go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Really, last question I have for you. I mean, you were 2019 recruit.
You already
right?
said that, dude. It's what? Over. You already said last question.
No, I got to do one more. I have to ask him this. I got to ask him this. How has college football changed since you were a freshman? And I guess what changes would you make to college football to make it just better long term?
NIL. Like, it's crazy and it's a blessing because I've seen teammates who've come from literally nothing. So it would be like there's a weird spectrum. Mm-hmm. I have a teammate who was sending, like, their scholarship money already, their little $1,200 to help back home.
Yeah.
But I've seen teammates who are sitting pretty wealthy and they're already pulling up on a Porsche. And that's not nobody's fault. It's just, like, there's different levels, like, almost. And it's unfortunate. It's not bad, but it's just, like, it's so crazy where kids, I think, drive changes a little more. Because for me, I had, like, I was thinking of my pitch was, like, come and get work, like, grow into a man, like, mm-hmm. school, this and that, then prior to that. But now it's, like, off the rip, you have some kids at like 16 or 17 getting recruited because they're a four-star. All we got to do is get you is tell you the right number and go to the right. collective. Like, that's insane. So it's like there's not as much of like history. Like, I think teams like Nick Saban leaving is crazy. Like, mm-hmm. Alabama won't be the same. Like, unfortunately, they're going to be good for a little longer, but now they're not. Like, you got teams that are just giving out bread, and that's really it. So now if a kid can stay home and doesn't have to leave and can support his family a little bit, like, that's a real thing. And like I said, just the drive of football. Like, I wanted to go win a Big 12 championship. I don't think some kids care as much anymore. Like, now I get $30,000 a month.
Right.
Like, it's okay.
Yep. Yeah. My solution to that has been, I think the NIL deal should have to come from a business. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if we want to pay a guy a couple $100 to come down here and do a show with us, and maybe we'll make a T-shirt with him, and he gets a percentage of the sales, like, the athlete should absolutely be able to capitalize on that sort of thing. But it's the collectives, which are, you know, or there's a cover for a fat check or whatever, and it's like, oh, he's going to do some work here or there. That's where I just think it gets murky and muddy and takes the spirit away, which is like, guys should absolutely be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness.
Yes, 100%.
But as is tradition in college football, we got to find loopholes and exploit it and just, you know,
to go around.
The like, money is going to win.
I don't hate it. I love people getting their money. Like, the whole Johnny Manziel thing and how much he made for the school and, like, how much he really got from them, that's crazy to me. Because, like, there's – unfortunately, like, it's crazy to sound – but people want to come see Shador Sanders. People want to come see Shiloh. People want to see Travis. Like, that's real. People are buying those jerseys. They have their own image. Like, a million followers as a college athlete is insane. Mm-hmm. 2 million – all that's insane. Like, that's not normal. So, like, yes, pay these guys. Let them do what they do. But, like, I think it's just crazy, like, the level, because you'll have a guy – doing all this, and then you'll have a guy with, like, absolutely nothing. I love, like, team deals. Like, I think Texas Tech has one where every player gets, like, $25,000. I think they break it up within stipends.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I think that's cool. Like, everybody gets a little bread. And don't – like, everybody – NIL is, like – I have my own technical image because I do TikTok. I do a little bit of Instagram. Like, those are my images. Like, not everybody gets NIL deals. Some people get collectives. Like, those are two confused things, two separate things. So – if the walk-on is striving on YouTube, like, that's – I'm happy for him. Like, that's his own money. But, like, the collective and NIL – I guess the collective side is what I'm saying. Like, we got to somehow figure a way to –
just regulate it.
Almost, yeah. Like, if the kid's striving on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, cool. That's his own thing. But, like, him just coming into campus as 19 and just – like, that that's a little different. Like, that's –
sure, man. This was awesome, Jalen. Thanks for coming down, man.
Great insight, man. We're rooting for you the same way that you're going to keep rooting for the Buffs.
You guys. Thank you.
No problem, man. We'll see you around, I hope, on the football field, too. So
that's the plan. Hopefully best of luck, man. Fall.
We'll be back live tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs. Buffs.
We all silly like the mayor.